Before we dive in, I want to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Salt River Therapy. If life feels heavy right now, you're not alone, and you don't have to carry it by yourself. Salt River Therapy is a boutique practice offering warm, affirming support for individuals and couples in Brooklyn and virtually across New York and New Jersey. Whether you're dealing with anxiety, grief, identity questions, relationship stress, they're here to help. Visit saltrivertherapy.com and take that first step towards healing. Welcome to the Traveling Black Women Podcast, where we are talking to Black women around the world. I'm your host, Nadine, and I am so excited to take you on a journey with fearless Black women exploring the world. Each episode, we uncover hidden gems, share travel hacks, and hear inspiring stories from incredible travelers who look just like you. So whether you're a seasoned globetrotter or planning your very first adventure, we've got something special for you. So stay tuned and let's dive in to today's episode. Welcome back to the Traveling Black Women Podcast. It's your host, Dr. Nadine Duncan. And today, I want to focus on something that I don't always talk about. And that is the ugly side of travel. Now, I know I always talk about how glamorous travel is and how it's going to change your life and all the things. And that is still true. But I feel like I owe it to you to lean into the sides that just really ain't so pretty. Sometimes travel is a character building experience. You know, sometimes a little bit of friction, a little bit of discomfort does allow us to grow. I can remember one time that I was flying standby on American Airlines. And I actually have a video about this on YouTube. But y'all, who told me to fly standby during spring break like a fool? I mean, I was hopeful, but delusional. I had everything ready. You know, I was like, okay, I'm gonna do my team carry-on so I don't have to worry about checking bags. Like, you know, just in case I can't get a seat on a flight, it's easy for me to just, you know, hop on over to the next gate, try again, whatever. I was really out there playing airport lottery, and y'all, I lost. Terribly lost. After getting to Cartagena one day late, all my friends who had a book flight, they were already there waiting at the villa like, girl, where you at? Trying to get on this flight. Finally got on the flight, finally met up with them. But it was the way back that I was like, what? What was I thinking? So on the way back, still flying standby, I could not get a flight out of Cartagena to Atlanta. Not even to Miami, not to North Carolina where or Charlotte where the hub is. I was stuck. I was literally stuck. So I was like, all right, you know, I still have some time. I work from home, so it's not like, you know, I have to hurry up and get back into nobody's office. So I'll just fly to another city, spend the night there. I got my backpack. I mean, I'm good, you know, and then fly out of that city because maybe that city will be a little bit less crowded. I mean, it's spring break, right? Everybody's in Colombia. Everybody's in Cartagena specifically. But maybe nobody's going to Medellin. So check me out. Get a flight. Very easy to get on that flight from Cartagena to Medellin and was good. So I was like, all right, so tomorrow I'm gonna get on another flight from Medellin all the way back to Miami and then Miami to Atlanta. Boom, I'm good. Y'all, I get to Medellin. I'm trying to say it right because I was, oh, you know, I was over there talking about Medellin. But so I got over there to Medellin and I got stuck. Spent the day, had a great day, had some beer, walked around, ate some amazing steak, like just had a good time just exploring. But that day, or that night rather, I go to the airport, got all my things. I actually got a hotel room for the day so that I could shower, freshen up, but I was literally there for probably 18 hours in total. So get back to the airport, whatever I have on the little app that's showing me what seats are available, not accurate. Not at all. Not based on what they had going on at the airport. So, okay. So, I'm there. I sit. I wait. I see my name on the screen. I'm waiting for my name to be called because, you know, that's just kind of how standby works. And finally, the last moment, my name is called. Yes. Gotta see. I'm on a plane. I had this picture with me, rolled up, my backpack, and I think that was pretty much it. Got on the flight, sat in my seat, and dozed off. I'm like, because the whole time, you know, my heart's pumping. I'm just like, man, it was a beast to get out here. Like, what if I get stuck? Like, at least if when I was stuck getting out there, I was stuck in America. I don't know how I could be stuck in Colombia. I'm going to have to find somewhere to stay. Like, all these things are going through my head. Anxiety is through the roof, right? So sitting on the plane, I'm waiting, fall off to sleep, chilling. And then I get a tap. And I'm like, I wake up and they're like, hey, we're going to have to remove you from the flight. Basically, in so many words, because I'm still kind of like not 100% clear about it because clearly I was sleeping. We're going to have to remove you from the flight because the people who have this seat have shown up. It was something along those lines. It was me and two other guys. So we got up, got our stuff. My stuff over out of the overhead compartment and left. Fortunately, I had priority pass. So there was an overnight lounge there that I was able to stay in for a whole night and they had an open bar. But y'all, talk about embarrassed, sleepy, tired, angry, because I got a seat. Whoever just showed up to the gate, they late. They late because as a matter of fact, we should have took off. We should have took off already. What's going on? So y'all did not like that experience at all. But it just kind of goes to show that like these are the sides that are just like, you know, sometimes dealing with the airport, the logistics, the people at the airport, because sometimes their attitudes are nasty. Like, look, I ain't pissed you off, so I don't know why you mad at me. I remember this one lady snapping at me at Atlanta Airport. And I can't even remember what for now, but I just remember being like, oof. It wasn't my fault. And then I kind of kept it moving after saying that to her because I was like, whoa, you know, people just kind of, they want to take out whatever frustration they have on you. And it's just like, whatever you got going on got nothing to do with me. You know, I'm not expecting you to kiss my feet, but I am expecting you to talk to me like I'm a human being. Like, what is going on here? But anyway, so that's one of the things that I don't necessarily like about travel. And that is the logistics behind actually getting there. Moving through the airport sometimes is aggravating. Sometimes it's fun. You know, sometimes that's part of like the excitement of, oh, I'm getting ready to go somewhere. Where's my gate and what food and can I stop at the bar? Especially like Newark Airport has like those bars that are in the middle. Love stopping there, you know, especially if there's no lounge close by. Like, yeah, let me sit right here at the bar. That's like an island in the middle of the thing. Just kind of people watch. Love that. You know, so there are some things that I love, but there are definitely some things I don't like. So flying standby, not for me. Like, y'all can keep all your buddy passes, companion passes, whatever else it is that will not give me a confirmed seat. Keep it. Keep it. I remember actually having to drive home from Charlotte one time because my standby situation did not work. And I was going to have to spend the night in Charlotte. I'm go ahead and rent this car and drive to Atlanta. But it did teach me one thing. Book the flight. Book the flight. You deserve the peace. You deserve the seat. You know, standby is just not worth it, especially when the stakes are high. You know, and if you find yourself delayed, stranded, invested in lounge access with priority pass, it really helps on those international lounges. And after I got kicked off that plane, y'all, I went straight to that lounge. And fortunately, that was a 24-hour lounge. So I was able to just kind of get something to eat, kick back, have some drinks. And, you know, it turned that stressful moment into, okay, at least I'm not laying on the ground in the airport hoping the roach don't crawl in my ear. Like, ugh. I usually drop some of these links like priority pass and travel hacks and things like that in my newsletter. So if you're not signed up, go ahead and take care of that. Just head on over to my website, www.travelingblackwomen.com, and scroll down to the bottom and you will see where you can sign up for our newsletter. All right, so let's switch gears for a second. So here's the other thing I do not care for about travel. And it is the whole concept of, girl, who sent you? Who sent you on this trip? You know, travel companions, some of y'all are out here traveling with the wrong group of people and calling the girls trips. No, ma'am. Let me be clear. Group travel with the wrong people is more dangerous than solo travel. I've done both and I've lived to tell the tales. You know, I've traveled with those male-centered friends who thought it was cute to disappear in a foreign country because they met some guy and that, oh, girl, just, Meanwhile, I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm okay with being the lame. I remember being in Spain and I was with a friend in Spain. It was two of them. One I traveled with and the other one met us there. And we ran into like this group of African guys. And, you know, of course, we're going to the hip hop clubs and the reggae clubs in Spain. Like, well, this is fun, right? But of course, then they want to take us to another club. Oh, I got this other club that y'all should come to. Blah, blah, blah. It's three of us. I think it was like maybe four of them. But they want to take us to this club. And the club is however far away. And we got to walk up this way and walk up that way. And then, you know, we get to the club. And the whole time we're on our way, I'm just like, I want to stay in the downtown area where people are milling around, whether they're in a club or just at a bar or whatever. There's people. You want us to walk, you know, all the way over here. Right? But I'm the lame girl in the group, right? So there they are. Oh, yeah. And y'all, we walk over to this, I forget what you call it, but they have them in big cities like Brooklyn or whatnot, where they pull down the, it's like a gate almost. I can't remember what it's called, but it's like a gate that you pull down when you're locking up your store. And they pull this thing down, or this thing is pulled down as we walk up, and the guy kind of like, you know, hits on it, ding, 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 right? So the other three of us are looking. The two of them, I mean, everybody's a little bit tipsy, but me, I'm sobered up by now because, like I said, I'm the lame. And even though I love to drink, I love to have a good time, I also have spidey senses. So we get there and the guy knocks on the door and think, think, think. And I'm looking like, this ain't an open club, right? This is not like, hey, there's not a bunch of people standing outside. I don't like it. I don't like it. They could open this door and it could be the most beautiful place in the world. But the fact that it's behind this door, because I feel like I can go behind this door and never come back out. Sex trafficking is real. We all know this, right? So I was like, I'm not going there. And then, of course, you have the two girls that I'm with. Oh, come on, stop. Come on, come on. You going to walk all the way back? No, I'm going back to the hotel. You going to walk all the way back by yourself? I would rather walk by myself than go behind those doors at this point, because I know exactly where the hotel was. And surprisingly, our hotel wasn't far, right? So we actually left the downtown Barcelona area, walked up this one street. And I remember it so vividly, y'all, because I was scared. Let's just be honest about that. So I walked up this street with them, with the group, and I'm looking around like, buzz is completely gone because I'm just like, what's happening, right? So we actually pass the hotel, go up this other street, and then around the corner, and that's where, you know, these dudes brought us, is what you call it. And then not only that, but when the guy opened the thing, he opened it from like one of those like speakeasy prohibition type like windows type things. Like, is this really happening? Like, this feels like a movie. Like, what's happening? Like, why can't he open the door like normal? So he did one of those types of things. And it's a white guy, right? So here it is. We've just gone to hip hop clubs and reggae clubs, or maybe they were just regular clubs that happened to be playing hip hop and reggae that night, whatever, you know, with these African dudes. And, you know, it's just like this black moment in the middle of Spain. And then you take us to this club and there's this white man or Spanish, you know, Spanish white, European, behind a gate with his eyes peering out. After you've rat a tap tap on the door, Nadine is going back to that. I'm going back to the hotel. No. So, long story short, they ended up all the whole group ended up walking me back to the hotel, and then they went back, and I showered, laid down, went to bed because I was like, you know, when all this said and done, I am going home, right, in one piece. My homegirl showed up probably about 4 or 5 that morning. But what was interesting is we never talked about it. We may have, I can't remember for sure. Let me not say never, but I do remember it being kind of awkward. And not much was said. Like, oh, I had a good time, girl, you should have gone. You know, usually it's that kind of thing. Like, girl, you should have gone. Da, 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 da. I don't remember having no conversation that made me feel like, I missed out. Cause the part of me, even today, almost what, 15 years later, I'm like, I kind of feel like if I had went in there, I wouldn't be here. I still feel that way. It wasn't like, girl, we went in there and, you know, Beyonce and Jay-Z was in the back throwing money. Like, it wasn't that. Like, yeah. traveling with people can be something else. I've also traveled with people who, you know, I don't care what we do. You know, they don't want to bear the burden of making the decision. And I talk about this in my book, Diary of Traveling Black Women. I talk about some of my little stories because remember that was my first book. So I wrote that book in 2015 with the mindset of these are the things that kind of suck about travel. And these are the things that might make people hesitant. So let me just really try to bring those things to the forefront. But y'all, one thing that really annoys me is everybody standing around talking about, I don't care what y'all want to do. I don't care. And then you start giving out suggestions. No, I don't want to do that. No, I don't like that. No. What? What do you want to do? What's your suggestion? I don't know what that is. There has to be a happy medium somewhere, but I know that is one of the most annoying things about group travel is that nobody wants to bear the burden of making the decision for the group and it being the wrong decision. You know, so everybody's like, I don't care. I'll go with the group. You are the group. So what do you want to do? You know, it's different if you got 10 people saying, hey, we want to go see the Eiffel Tower, and one person saying, well, I just want to go sit on the Seine River. Yeah, that will be different with going with the group. That's a clear difference. But if the group is trying to make a decision and you're like, I'll go with the group, and this decision hasn't been made, you're not going with the group. You're avoiding decisions and you're making it harder for everybody else. Figure out what you want to do before you go on somebody's trip. Like when someone's inviting you on a trip and you're like, oh, okay, I'm just kind of going along for a ride. There's not really much of an itinerary or whatever. Like, figure out what you want to do, because that is the most annoying thing about a group trip. And then sometimes you should be like, man, did y'all come here to have fun or just to complain about everything, just to start little arguments about everything, just to kind of push back against everything? You know, that energy is wild to me, you know, and you notice it. In order for you to really to really differentiate or have discernment, you notice it when you're home with these people, right? So it's like, okay, when you get ready to travel, just know that those things are going to turn up a notch because now they're in unfamiliar territory. And I really think that pushback, that constant complaining, that there's always an issue type of energy is anxiety. And it's anxiety that people don't know how to deal with yet, how to process yet. Instead of saying, oh, I'm worried about this, or I feel uncomfortable about this, or oh, this is causing me anxiety. Instead, it's like, there's something wrong with that and somebody else has to fix it. No, you just need to sit through this discomfort for a second and recognize that it's different than what you might be used to, but it might be a great experience. And even if it's not a good experience, well, now you know, it's always a 50-50 chance or whatnot. That is why TBW trips are small group only. And it's why I launched a social club as well, because Facebook is cool, but Facebook has over 20,000 members in it. And when you're talking about 20,000 members, you don't really know who's engaging and who's not. When you have a small, concentrated group, you can definitely touch people and have conversations with them more often than not. You know, I don't want to travel with people who seem like they're allergic to joy, right? Who have an issue with everything, who want to travel because it sounds good. They've seen some good pictures on Instagram, you know, but they don't have the heart to travel, right? They don't have the desire to travel. Like, I don't have time for that. I don't say that in an elitist kind of way, but I say it in a way where as much as travel is a cathartic experience for me, and as much as I want it to be a cathartic experience for others, I do recognize that some people need to go through that journey on their own before coming with me. And that's okay. You know, I like soft energy, safe energy, open-minded, no drama, you know, to let's enjoy ourselves type of energy, you know. But if you spend 5 minutes in the comment section of any post on social media these days, you know that kind of energy is becoming more and more rare. You know, people are combative, they're passive aggressive, they're defensive about things that they don't even need to defend. You know, they assume negative intent all the time. You know, they're always ready to throw hands or in, you know, social media case, throw thumbs, you know, over a misunderstanding or, you know, just not understanding that one word could have multiple meanings, you know, just different things like that. You know, when you translate that into real life, like, who would want to end up in a different country with something like that? And I mean, that's exactly why I feel like solo travel is safer than group travel with the wrong people. My spirit just doesn't have time for that. I'm not explaining why I need peace when I travel, whether it's a vacation, whether it's work. Like, I do not want to be in somebody else's country overwhelmed by anxiety, frustration, and anger. No, because for what? I can do that right here in America. All right. And now the third thing, and then I'm going to stop here because I got a list. I got a list, but I ain't going to overwhelm y'all with it. But the third thing that I really don't like about travel is planning an itinerary. Well, let me rephrase that. I love planning itineraries. I love it. I don't always like when itineraries are planned for me. I have been on some trips where I've felt like either the itinerary was lacking, like it's a whole lot of downtime, what you need us to do, or it was too much. Like, y'all, I'm sleepy. You know, press trips are a perfect example. You know, when you're trying to get stuff done and, you know, you're taking all these pictures and you're like, okay, I want to hurry up and, you know, categorize them or whatever, but you're, you know, falling asleep trying to do whatever on your phone and all of that. Like, that's no fun. You know, I've been on trips where it was just like, is this a reality show? I mean, day one, you got the hike, the museum, the cooking class, the night cruise, salsa lesson, you know, and day two, it's like, you got this. And it's like, oh, barely had time to relax. I barely had time to breathe. Like, ooh, you know, so balance is everything. You know, I don't plan anything when I'm doing my own itineraries. I don't plan anything for the first day of a trip ever. And I also have a video on YouTube about this. It's called Plan. And it just kind of goes through, you know, my whole planning process. But I don't ever plan anything on my first day of a trip. You know, my mom and I, we'll call it knocking about. You know, that's a trendy term. Just we go and knock about, you know, because we just land. We drop our bags if we're not sleepy or if we can't check in. Sometimes it's like, oh, you know, you guys are here at 11 a.m. Check-in is at 2, and it's too early to try to give y'all an early check-in. Come back in an hour. It's always something like that. So, all right. So, you know, we might land, drop our bags, and just walk the neighborhood, you know, find a snack, ease into the vibe a little bit. And that really helps us kind of ground ourselves and where we are and kind of figure out the lay of the land, right? And my mom is much better at me and figure out, like, hey, this street goes over here. Like, what? Oh, okay. Because I'll have us walking in circles talking about I'm using my map. We are literally the real Dora exploring boots, let me tell you. Anyhow, but I like that. I like that when her and I plan our itineraries because we leave that space to just get to where we are, situate ourselves, and then the next day our, you know, list of activities, our itinerary starts. I prefer red eyes, you know, like that's another way for me to just kind of like ease into time zone changes, things like that, because it just makes it a little bit easier to adjust. But those trips that are, you know, back to back to back to back to back, it's just like, I want the opportunity to enjoy the feeling of being present rather than making sure I'm locking in the right amount of time to get to something else. So when I'm working with the host for the trips that I've planned for our network, one of those things that I ask is, where is the downtime here? Are you able to build in where we can be still? Sometimes they get a little pushback where they say, oh, well, you know, you have the driver for the day, so it's going to still cost the same, da, da, da. And that's all fine and good. But I'm just like, as long as there is space for people to relax, you got to make your experience your own. And if you tire yourself out trying to go to everything on an itinerary when you know personally that it's not working out for you, you don't want to run the risk of coming back and not feeling like you had a good time. That's another reason that I really like small group trips, because if for whatever reason we need to pivot or pause, we can do that. You can't do that with 10, 15, or 20, but you could do that with 6. You could do that with 8. You know, people were telling me at one point, like, oh, you might want to just do 10 because that'll, or your lowest should be 10 because you can get a better discount. And that may be true. However, sometimes you can't put a price on peace. And if 6 people is a good number for us to pivot and do different things to make sure everybody is comfortable, then 6 people it is. You see what I'm saying? So something to think about when you're looking at trips or looking at joining group trips. How many people are going to be on there? And would it be easy to pivot if you decided that you didn't want to do certain things or go certain places? So let me wrap this up. You know, it's different when y'all don't have any guests, because I'm just like, I'm not about to sit here and talk till my mouth is dry. but let this be your permission slip, right? Let this be your permission slip. You don't have to do all the things. You can say no to certain excursions. You can stay in bed. You can read, nap, walk slow. You don't have to be as adventurous. You're not wasting your money. You're not boring. You're not the lame friend if you decide you don't want to do certain things that don't feel right. You know, choose peace. Choose to honor yourself. You know, that is what travel is supposed to be. And even though there are these aspects that absolutely suck, right? Things that are completely out of your control, delayed, canceled flights, you know, whatever. They happen and you move through them. So if you got anything from this particular episode, get priority pass, travel with the right people, and make sure when you're putting your itinerary together, you make it balanced. All right, y'all, that's it for this episode of the Traveling Black Woman Podcast. If this resonated with you, let me know. DM me on Instagram, send me a voice note. I'd love to hear what vacation stories you have that was just like, I'm good, you know. Or you're just your proudest moment, you know, of choosing rest instead of running around. And if you have not already, go back and listen to the last episode with Dr. Jade and Simone Duncan, my cousins, on leaving the burden of ambition behind. That episode is one of my favorite episodes because it is a whole word. And stay tuned for our next episode where we'll be talking about teaching abroad. I've got Tori McNeely, the author of our Teaching Abroad Guide, and she is going to talk to us about what her experience was like teaching in Abu Dhabi and Abuja. So I'm excited for that conversation. Make sure you subscribe, hit save, leave a comment, leave a like, whatever. So yeah, travel isn't always glamorous. I know, I get it. I don't always talk about it, but I'm glad that I did today. If you learn how to move through it, whether it be dealing with people you don't like, dealing with an itinerary that's overpacked, or dealing with logistics at the airport that are completely out of your control, you'll figure out a way. But don't let it hold you back from seeing the world. There is way too much out there. So until then, travel smart, travel soft, and don't let these airports play in your face. You got it. Bye, y'all. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Traveling Black Women Podcast. You can find us online at www.travelingblackwomen.com. And there you can find plenty more travel resources to help you plan your very next trip. We've got travel guides, we've got a blog, we've got our blog, and you just listened to our podcast. I look forward to seeing you around. Thanks for tuning in.